All right, our guest today is Trey Lamb. He's executive director of the Oklahoma Conservation Commission, and we're at the annual meeting of the Oklahoma Association of Conservation Districts. And we're going to talk about several key issues on the front burner these days, and one of those issues is private property rights. They just held a panel discussion, and Trey was the moderator for this panel discussion, and the whole focus is, we hear this a lot today, Trey, is not in my backyard. And you had a number of energy and agribusiness officials talking about that.
That's right. You know, our conservation districts are all across the state. And oftentimes, as whether private landowners, farmers, ranchers, or the district themselves, they're approached by people who either are looking to develop whether it's a poultry farm or a wind farm or a mining operation. And they're also approached by those people that are opposed to it. And so what we thought was to give a perspective on what in the not in my backyard type issues, where if something's going in close to you, you may be opposed to it. We wanted to look at the bigger issues, whether it's economic development, but also at private property, because as our other ag organizations, private property is really important. What you can do on your farm. We usually think about it as farming, whether it's having animal livestock or working the ground or, you know, spraying pesticides. We should be able to do that as long as we follow the rules of the state and the nation. And so we don't really think about those same issues that if we have new rules or legislation or even these not-in-my-backyard movements that stop industry, they could do the same thing. On a smaller scale, on the individual family farm.
One of the issues that was brought up by this panel discussion is a lack of accurate information to the public when, say, a poultry farm or a wind farm moves into the area.
You know, we used to think that it was just because there wasn't really an avenue, you know, whether it was the print media or, you know, we only had 3 TV stations back in the old days. But now it's almost there is too much access to information through social media. People can say anything, whether it's accurate or inaccurate, about a celebrity or a political figure or a company and what they're doing. And whether it's true or not, we can't really determine because they've put it out there. And so we get a lot of misinformation. So we would really like for our conservation districts to try and help tell that story. Whether exactly what's going to happen, how it's going to impact the local community, but also then to inform the industry, these are the concerns that our people have. These are the concerns, our natural resources, whether it's our water, our soil, erosion concerns, you know, air, anything like that. And that way we can be a communicator between those who are concerned on both sides and hopefully help these things happen where they need to happen. And give better direction. If it doesn't need to be in a certain community, then we can help to give that information before we get too far down the line. It seems like a lot of these things get to the final construction point, or they're financing, everything's in place, land's been purchased, and then someone wants to stop it with a lawsuit or with a protest.
Well, that almost seems like a natural fit to have the Oklahoma Association of Conservation Districts, local people being on the cutting edge or the front of this because they're the ones out there making sure the resources are protected.
Yeah, I think that's right because for, 80 years, these local conservation districts and their directors have fit that middle ground. They want to protect the natural resources, conserve them, but also still allow people to utilize them. We still need to utilize the water. Whether it's for drinking, for agricultural uses, or for industrial uses. But we want to keep that water clean. We want to be able to use our land in a productive way, but also that proves good stewardship. So we built a long history of respect of doing the right thing in that way and also be non-regulatory. And that's why when we go to industry or we go to private groups, you know, environmental groups, we can say we're not taking a side here. We want to bring people together. We want to protect the land and the water, but we also want to be able to have them available for the people of Oklahoma to use to earn a living, to be able to provide a tax base for their kids to go to school and for the continued development and growth of Oklahoma.
Let's transition now into the overall view of conservation practices in Oklahoma. A long history there. You just mentioned the many years that Oklahoma has focused on conservation issues. So where are we at right now? Can you give a state of the state on Oklahoma conservation?
I think we're in a great place. We're kind of in a dawn of a new era, I think. And you hear this term soil health, which refers to the fact of using reduced tillage, less disturbance of the soil, keeping a growing living plant year-round, utilizing cover crops, diversifying the type of plants, the species, and increasing the biological activity in the soil, but at the same time using grazing animals, large animals. It returns it to a more natural system, but we can still produce the same crops, cotton, corn, wheat, soybeans, grain sorghum. It's a system that makes the ground more sustainable, both environmentally but also economically. So for a lot of years, we farmed the soil and we put back all the inputs that we need, whether it was fertilizer, pesticides, lime, everything went back into the soil, from a truck that we brought in. We're going to try to return that state to where the organic matter in the soil, the biological activity, will be such that it can sustain itself, that by the plants that are growing, interacting with the microorganisms below the soil, can keep that soil rich and healthy without quite so many inputs. And that will be better for the environment, but especially better for the bottom line of our ag producers. We want to make that land worth more money, because if it's more productive, it's going to be worth more. And so it's really a new way of thinking. It's kind of similar to the end of the Dust Bowl, thinking about a new way of farming, or when we started building flood control structures, our dams, a new way of preventing flooding with all these small impoundments. This is a new way of farming, and we're really excited about that. We've got a lot of support from the state and from the state legislature. They made an investment last year in things such as operation and maintenance of our dams. They supported a water quality initiative where we're going to be working with the poultry industry and their neighbors in eastern Oklahoma to put conservation around poultry farms and really try to address the concerns of those people. So we feel like we're really in a great place in Oklahoma. There's a new enthusiasm. Part of that's generational, but we've got some wonderful directors that are meeting here this week, got some great staff, and so I think it's a bright future for natural resource conservation in Oklahoma.
The mantra for you guys has been soil health for several years now, and that seems to be a good way to brand this whole issue that is accepted by both the producers and the consumers.
Right. If you we even talked about flooding, and we talked about the Arkansas River flooding last spring. If you take the entire Arkansas River Basin, which is most of northern Oklahoma and Kansas, and you can increase the organic matter 1% in cropland and 0.5% in our range or pasture land, we could hold the amount of water just in the soil, increase the infiltration and the holding capacity of the water, the same as building the four largest Corps of Engineer lakes in Oklahoma, such as Eufaula, Texoma, and then even add in a Canton Lake. That's how many billions of gallons of water. So if we increase that water goes into the soil rather than runs off. When it doesn't run off, it doesn't carry off fertilizer, pesticides, soil into the rivers to contaminate them. And it also allows better crops to grow all year round. So soil health has the ability to do that, because the soil can what we say, fix itself, which is, put structure back in the soil. The earthworms, the roots, the way the soil structure will allow all that water to penetrate down in the soil and have it there to grow the crop during our hot summers when we need it.
So you're optimistic then about the future of conservation and our environment and everything like involved in that as we move forward?
We talk about a lot of the issues that are facing water, which just mentioned in a previous session we had. That's going to be a huge issue. We can solve a lot of Oklahoma and the nation and the world's water problems by modifying the way we farm. We don't have to quit farming. We don't have to quit growing the same or larger productions. We don't have to reduce the number of animals. We just have to do it in a different way. And so that makes me optimistic in that conservation can be a solution. It also can be a solution to whether you believe in climate change or not, carbon sequestration. We can hold carbon in the soil by keeping the soil covered so that it doesn't, you know, isn't released into the atmosphere. We can capture carbon. Anything green growing, you know, we heard about they're going to plant $1 billion worth of trees from Amazon. Well, why not put some of that into changing the way we farm, do a little education, some demonstration, encourage farmers to do, which is what our partners at USDA and NRCS are doing now through their programs. But let's convince the public, the general public, that have concerns about these issues, that farming, ranching, and conservation have the solutions to a lot of the big problems.
Okay, thank you, Trey. Trey Lamb, Executive Director of the Oklahoma Conservation Commission.